Okay, the sermon. It's Advent Sunday, second Sunday in Advent, and we are considering the peace of God, Advent peace. Peace, when we think about it, you know, almost every Christmas card declares it in some way or another. But if you watch the TV or you listen to the radio, every news broadcast seems to contradict peace. If we're honest, every human heart craves peace. We want a peaceful life. We want peace in the world. We want peace in our lives, peace in our homes. And Advent is the season when we as the church intentionally remember the peace that came into the world when Christ came. And in many ways, the world back then was no different to the world today. It was a violent world. It was a divided world. It was a restless world that the Prince of Peace entered into. He came into a world that needed to be delivered from its sin. He came into a world that needed to focus once again on the reality of God, to understand their need of a saviour, to understand that they could be in a relationship with a God who loves them. And friends, that same world exists today. If we're honest, every generation has searched for peace. If you've ever watched the beauty pageant, Miss World or something like that, and they ask the contestants, what is it that you want? 9 times out of 10, they will say world peace. Do we want peace in the world? Yes, but we also want that inner peace, don't we? We want peace of mind, yet peace seems to be elusive for most of us. Do you ever wake up in the middle of the night worrying about something? Do you ever find that peace is something that you seem to be chasing after and striving for rather than just living in it? In the 21st century, technology has increased. We've got AI, we've got robot vacuum cleaners. You know, you can even get a kettle that is internet connected. So if you want to boil the kettle, you don't even need to go and press the switch. You can attach to it from your phone and you can see, oh, there's no water in the kettle. And you can still choose to boil it if you want to. They haven't quite worked out how you fill it remotely from the internet, but they are trying. Well, you could, yes, as Paul says, you could get married and hopefully your wife or husband will have mercy and fill the kettle. I've never really understood the reason why you would have an internet connected kettle. But apparently you can also get internet connected toothbrushes. They monitor how you brush your teeth. They report back to a central server and then send you an email to tell you how good you were at brushing your teeth. Would that give you peace if you got an email like that saying you'd missed the back molar? Maybe not. The world tries to find ways to bring peace. The world tries to find ways to bring comfort. But the only true way of peace is Jesus. The only true source of comfort is God. In the 21st century, yes, we have more technology, but our physical comforts may have improved. I can switch my heating on from my phone. I don't need to stand up and turn the dial that's next to the sofa. I can just press a button. I've got comfort, but that doesn't necessarily give me peace. There's still anxiety in the world, despite all the technological advances. People still feel guilty. People are still involved in conflict, and people are still fearful. Maybe it's because they don't trust God. Maybe it's because they don't know Jesus as their Lord and Saviour. But this time of Advent, it whispers a better word to all who will listen. Peace has come. Peace has a name. Peace is a person. Jesus Christ is our peace. My encouragement to you today is go and live in the peace of Christ. Live in the peace of justification. Live in the peace of knowing that your sins are forgiven. Live in the great peace that comes from loving the Word of God and from loving God Himself. The Apostle Paul, he declares the greatest truth that the human soul can ever know. Peace with God is possible because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has already done. We're not waiting for him to do something. He has already stepped in. He is already the Prince of Peace. But we need to welcome him into our lives. We need to embrace the peace that he brings. So that in the midst of a storm, in the midst of struggles, in the midst of trials and circumstances, we are standing firm, that we are at peace because it's on Christ, the solid rock, that we can stand. In the Old Testament, the psalmists described the greatest blessings that we as believers could ever experience. We're told that the greatest peace belongs to those who treasure the Word of God. And as Advent approaches, as we're in the beginning of Advent, as we look ahead to Christmas and the birth of Christ, we celebrate both what the Apostle Paul declares and the psalmists tell us. There's two glorious truths I want us to walk through this morning. The first point is this: peace with God and the gift of justification. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. He's already done it. Paul begins Romans 5 with a glorious therefore. He points us back to the reality that all humanity stands before a holy God. No one earns anything by righteousness. No one earns anything by works. When we're in Christ, everything changes because of what he has already done for us. As the Apostle Paul says, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith. He's talking about something that has already happened. Yes, we need to continue to walk in God's ways. Yes, we continue to look to him, the author, the finisher, the perfecter of our faith. But we have already been saved. We have already been set free. The Greek verb that he uses here means that we are declared righteous. And it's God that declares us righteous. The word that's used, it's a courtroom term. It's something that would be said by a judge. It doesn't describe a process. It actually is a declaration. It is something that has already taken place. When we trust in Jesus, the judge of heaven slams the gavel down and declares, not guilty, forgiven, righteous, accepted, mine. We are children of the living God because of what Jesus has done. None of us are worthy of his sacrifice, but he willingly gave himself for all who will believe in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this: for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Friends, this is a great exchange. Our sin is laid upon Christ, and Christ's righteousness is credited to us. When Father God looks at us, he sees the perfection of his Son. When he looks at us, the Bible speaks about our righteousness being like filthy rags. But when God looks at us, because he looks at us through his Son, he sees beauty. We are saved. We are set free. We are made right with God because of the sacrifice of Christ. R.T. Kendall once said this: justification means more than forgiveness. It means God sees me just as if I'd never sinned. Justification, justified, just as if I'd never sinned. Think about your life for a moment. I'm sure that in every one of our lives, we have something that we wish we had never done. It could be something horrible. It could just be something that was perhaps inconvenient at some time. I remember one year we went to Switzerland for a holiday, and I discovered being pushed to the front of a cable car that I didn't like heights. I would have preferred not to discover hanging above a Swiss valley that I had a problem with heights. That was an external circumstance. Did I have any control over it? Yes, I could have chosen not to get on that cable car. And there are things that come into our lives that we can choose to stay away from. There are things that come into our lives that we know have no earthly or heavenly good. But there are those in the world that embrace things. Things that might give them happiness. Things that might give them peace. You know, excessive use of recreational drugs. Excessive use of alcohol. Sexual sin. There are so many ways in which the world and the devil will seek to draw us away from God. Give us a sense of false peace. Give us a sense of false achievement. But it's only God that can set us free. And friends, we're not bound by our past. Our past doesn't shape us, but it does influence and should influence how we live our days going forward. We are justified. We are set free. We are considered righteousness. We are considered righteous, and we shouldn't fall back into our old patterns of behaviour when we know Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. Just as if I'd never sinned. You know, I'm so pleased that justification reminds us it's as if we never sinned. But how much worse would it be if we'd never believed, if we'd never trusted in Jesus as our Lord and Saviour? See, Advent reminds us, Christmas reminds us that Christ came not simply to be born. He came to die, and there was a reason for his death. The reason was so that we could be forgiven. But in order to be forgiven, we need to accept Jesus as Lord and Saviour. We need to allow him into our lives. We need to let the Holy Spirit take control of who we are. We need to fix our purpose on the will of God for our lives. We need to seek to walk in the right way. Christ came to be born, to die, but he came to rise. He came to justify us, to set us free from the burden of our sin. We look beyond the baby in a manger to the Saviour on the cross. And we look beyond the cross to the risen Saviour, the one who has ascended and will come back and return one day. And in the 21st century, friends, we cannot earn God's approval. We cannot strive our way to peace. We cannot earn the right to salvation. But Jesus comes and gives the gift of salvation to all who will believe. Friends, the greatest gift that anyone could receive this Christmas is the gift of salvation, the gift of freedom from sin. I don't know what the latest fad is for kids' toys. I know when my kids were growing up, there was things like Furbies and certain special editions of Barbie dolls or Beyblades, little spinning tops. There seemed to be a fad that every child wanted. Might I suggest that this year, the fad that every adult would want is the gift of Christ in their lives. And why limit it just to adults? Children, young and old alike, can know Jesus as Lord and Saviour, can know the greatest gift for themselves. Peace from God means the end of hostility. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Yeah, Paul, he continues, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Friends, this isn't the peace of feelings. This is the peace of relationship. We don't feel like we've been saved. We don't feel like we've been set free. We have been set free. Romans 5 verse 10 says this, for since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his son. You know, this is an incredible verse. While we were his enemies, when we didn't know him, when we didn't even, well, we might have known his name, we might have used his name as a swear word, but we didn't know him. He was willing to die for us. Before our salvation, we were enemies of God. And Advent reminds us that the baby in the manger, the Saviour on the cross, came to end the war between God and humanity. The Hebrew word for peace, shalom, it means wholeness. It means reconciliation, nothing broken, nothing missing. Through the cross, Christ did not merely calm our fears. He came to end our rebellion. He came to restore us to relationship. There's an American preacher and author called Tim Keller, and he said this, the peace of God is not the absence of trouble, but the presence of God. In the midst of the storm, knowing that you're not alone. When you're facing a difficulty, a diagnosis, when the doctor calls and says, I'm sorry, but God is with us. He's with us in our distress. He's with us in our suffering. He's with us in our doubts. He is always there for us because he is faithful and true. But friends, our foundation must be the peace that we have with God. The peace of God. That's what we must live on. But we cannot experience the peace of God until we have the peace with God. Knowing him as Lord, knowing him as Saviour, knowing him as Father, knowing him as friend, we have to know him. We have to come to him to truly experience that peace in our lives. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 14 says this, for Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when in his own body on the cross he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. Friends, we're one in Christ. If we know Jesus as Lord and Saviour, we are united as his family. Christ himself is our peace. Peace is not a technique. Peace is not a way of living. Peace, true peace, is a person. True peace is Jesus Christ. Let's move on. The great peace of loving God's word. If Romans 5:1 gives us peace with God, Psalm 119 verse 165 teaches us how to walk in great peace. Those who love your instructions have great peace and do not stumble. The psalmist is using the word shalom again. Not just peace, but great peace, perfect peace. Not a peace that's fragile, not a peace that's fleeting, not peace when life is easy and everything is going your way. Great peace, deep peace, Advent peace, the kind of peace that Jesus came to give. But who receives this peace? It's those who love God's word, his Torah, his teaching, his direction. Those who love his truth receive the peace of God. In the 21st century, there are preachers that ignore or deny the word of God. Instead of reading the word, instead of trusting the word, they ignore it. And it's not just preachers, there are people who don't want anything to do with God's word. There are many Christians in the 21st century that don't read the word of God for themselves because they're frightened about what they might discover, about what might God require of them in the way in which they live their lives. For some, ignorance is bliss. But actually, it's reading the word of God, it's learning the word of God, it's studying the word of God that brings us true peace. When we trust him. Charles Stanley said this, "The word of God is our anchor in the storms of life." Our anchor. Yes, the wind may blow, yes, the waves may crash, but we are secure because we are in Christ. And our peace, it's anchored in the scriptures, reading them, obeying them, treasuring them. I think of Mary. In the Bible, it says that as she was told things about what would happen, that she treasured those words and kept them in her heart. Friends, we need to keep God's word in our heart. We need to keep God's word in our minds. We need God's word upon our lips. So that when trouble comes, we can remind ourselves from the word of God, of the promises of God, the truth of God, the salvation that is ours in Jesus Christ our Lord. Friends, are you anchored in Christ this morning? Is Christ your source of peace? Do you look for peace in the world or do you look for peace in the word? The psalmist, he says, peace comes to those who love God's word, who delight in it, trust in it, who obey it. Even when culture and the world says, nah, you're wrong. We know the truth that is revealed to us by God himself. Why should we doubt the word of God? Why should we doubt the creator of the universe? Why should we doubt the one who is omnipotent, who is able? Who else would we trust apart from him? Peace that guards us from stumbling. The Hebrew word for stumbling is mikshol. It refers to tripping, falling, or being trapped. And the world is full of spiritual traps. The world is full of physical traps, things that would seek to keep us in bondage and away from God. But if we love the Lord, if we love his word, he helps us to build spiritual guardrails around our lives, to dig a moat, to keep us safe. Not keeping us in a comfort zone, not keeping us in a place of our own building and construction, but keeping us in him. In him is our safety. Psalm 37, 23 and 24. Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. Does that remind you of anything in the New Testament? Peter, while he kept his eyes on Jesus, was able to walk on water. The moment he moved his eyes away, he started to drown and sink. But instead of leaving him there, Jesus reached out his hand and lifted him up. And friends, we all need to be lifted by the hand of God. We all need to sense his presence with us. We need to know that we are not alone, that Father is with us. Sin may try to trip us up. Temptation may try to lure us. Fear may try to overwhelm us. But the word of God holds us by the hand and steadies us and carries us forward and through. During the war, there was a lady called Corrie ten Boom, and she smuggled scripture into concentration camps. She said this: "You can never learn that Christ is all you need until Christ is all you have." Anyone know that to be true? Christ is all we need. Christ is all that we need. Oh, but I need a kilo of Cadbury's chocolate. I need to buy a lot of wrapping paper for all the gifts that I still need to buy a gift to people. I need. I want Christ at the centre. I need Christ at the centre of my life. That should be the primary want and need of all of our lives. And if the word of God could give Corrie ten Boom peace in the middle of a death camp, it can give us peace when we're in the valley. It can give us peace when we're on the mountaintop. It can give us peace when we're walking down the street and it's raining and we forgot to bring an umbrella. In every circumstance, in every situation, we can experience the peace of God when we rely on his word. Why? Because it's a peace that is certain. Because we stand in grace. Romans chapter 5 verse 2 says, "Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory." That verse will come up on screen. As if by the magic of Esther pressing the button. There we go. Christ has brought us into this place where we now stand. Notice it says it's a place where we stand. Not crawl, not crave, not strive, but stand. Stand, that would suggest that we are fixed, that we are secure, that we are unshakable. Friends, Advent peace, it's not something that's fragile. It's anchored in the grace of God. We are not kept because of our performance. We're not kept because of our eloquence. We're not kept because of who we think we are. We are kept and held by Christ and Christ alone. There is no other. Whoever knows Jesus receives everything that is necessary for life. Everything. Notice I say everything that is necessary, not everything that we want. God is not a vending machine. And I know there are people in this world who seem to think they can pop a prayer in and out will come a blessing. God doesn't work like that. He always blesses his children, but the way in which he blesses us may not be the way that we expect, may not be the way that we want. But his will is perfect. He knows what is best for us. And if we really want peace, we would trust God more than we trust ourselves. See, when we take Jesus, when we take the Son, when we accept him as Lord and Saviour, we are blessed with the biggest blessing of all, the gift of salvation. And with that gift of salvation should come the unshakable peace of God. But there are those who lack assurance. There are those who think that perhaps they need to do more, they need to work harder, they need to strive more, they need to do something more. But it's Jesus that saves and Jesus that sets free, because he is the Prince of Peace. And Advent points us to the Prince of Peace. Isaiah chapter 26 verse 3 says, "You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you." The written word of God, the Bible, it points us to the living word, Jesus Christ. He came at Advent not just to soothe us, he came to save us. He came not to just comfort us, but to cleanse us. He came not merely to calm life's storms, but to conquer our sin, to raise us to new life, eternal life, just as he was raised to life. R.T. Kendall, I love the way that he says things. He reminds us the greatest peace you will ever know is when you are forgiven. The greatest peace that you will ever know is when you are forgiven. Friends, Advent, Christmas, it reminds us of peace. It reminds us that we are forgiven. God and sinners, you and I, reconciled with God because of what Jesus has done. Let me give you a gospel call, because peace is offered today. Romans 10 verse 9. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Not you might be saved, not you could be saved, you will be saved. It's certain that when we trust in him and him alone, that salvation comes. Yes, Jesus came to bring peace. But he did that not by ignoring sin. He came to pay the price for your sin and mine. Just as we were reminded in the communion that we took together earlier. His work was finished at the cross. The work was done in full, paid in full. The ransom was complete. And for that, for us, that means that our debt has been erased. Our guilt has been removed. Our shame has been covered. And our hearts are reconciled with a holy God. Friend, do you have that peace right now? Because you can have that peace today. All you need to do is repent, believe, and trust in Jesus, the Prince of Peace, the Lord of Lords. Trust him and you can know the joy of salvation for yourself. And you can live in peace knowing that you have peace with God and a peace that will last for eternity. Maybe we need to ask ourselves the question today. Are we anchored in the word of God? Are we anchored in God? Or have we drifted off into the things of the world? Are we letting Christ rule? Are we letting God reign in everything so that he can give us his peace? Are we loving God's word or are we neglecting God's word? Are we walking securely in Christ or are we stumbling over the same old problems, the same old issues? Do we truly trust him in everything or are we still worrying? Philippians 4 verses 6 and 7 promises this. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Friends, this is a wonderful promise of Advent peace. the peace that was brought by Christ and strengthened through his word. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the only way of salvation. He is the source of our hope and our joy and our love. The season of Advent reminds us of everything that he has already done. In conclusion, go and live in the peace of Christ. Know peace with God. Know that you are justified because of what Christ has done. Know great peace through loving the Word of God. Experience Advent peace. Experience the presence of Jesus with you. Friends, this Christmas, don't just celebrate as the world celebrates, but live in the peace of Christ. Stand in the grace of God. Go and walk securely, knowing that you're not alone. And go and shine the peace of Christ into a dark and broken world. Friends, may the God of peace fill you with Christ's peace. May the word of God anchor you through every storm. May the word of Christ rule in your mind. And in the mighty name of Jesus, may we proclaim the truth that Jesus is the Prince of Peace and the Lord of Lords, now and evermore. Amen.